Okay, welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles. The title of this sermon is Rival Priests, Pagan Feasts. And this is about the contrast between what we're doing and what the world does. Before I get into this, and we're going to start in Leviticus 23 if you want to go ahead and turn there. But before I get into this, I should make a couple of preliminary remarks. As far as the calendar, last year there was a 13th month, and because of that, compared to the Gregorian calendar, the solar calendar that the world uses, compared to that, it seems late, but it's actually right on time. about 1,000 years ago, the Jews actually tried to reform the calendar, and some heathens resisted them, and it didn't work out, so they had to keep on using the calculated calendar. It's because they had like a telegraph system of single fires, and the heathens were disrupting that, and it didn't work out. And Maimonides was the personal physician of Saladin, so if that had worked out, he probably would have reformed the Muslim calendar as well. It's similar to the Jewish calendar, but they never add a 13th month, so their holiday slides from, you know, winter to spring and goes all through the year. It's kind of crazy. And I wish, now that we have the observed calendar, I wish we had a reformed Levitical priesthood and the Sanhedrin behind us and all that, but you can't have everything. But someday. So Leviticus 23 and verses 33 and 34. I should probably tell you a little bit about myself for those of you that don't know me. I hardly ever talk about my past because it's pretty bad, but when I was about five or six years old in public schools, we had a pretty good library at the public school, and I read a lot. Unfortunately, they didn't have the Bible in it for some reason, but I read back then, when I was just a little child, that Christmas and Easter were pagan, but I didn't have enough knowledge, so I made the wrong conclusion. I concluded that because Christianity seemed to be a ripoff of paganism, or what's called Christianity, and paganism was thousands of years older than Christianity, I became a pagan. And I lived as a pagan, I worshipped false gods, I did many wrong things, I studied witchcraft and sorcery and all that, and it wasn't until I was about 14 that I began to see that these false gods had weaknesses, and a true God has no weakness. So I resisted for a long time, but I was in too deep by then, and it wasn't until I was about 18 that somebody gave me a magazine that talked about the holy days and stuff, and I realized, well, hey, the Bible tells them not to do all this stuff they're doing anyway. It tells them to do something completely different that I never heard of. And now we're here doing what the Bible says to do. So Leviticus 23, verse 33 and 34, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It's a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. Unlike the weekly Sabbath, you are allowed to do a certain amount of work involved in food preparation on the high holy days, except, of course, for atonement when you don't do anything. Okay, let's look at Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. Verses 1 and 2. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Verse 6, Numbers 25, 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, He rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. So here we see that the legitimate priesthood is confirmed in Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, and the legitimate Levitical priest all came from him from that point on. Aaron did have some other sons, and they did some wrong things, Nadab and Abihu, and were killed for that. But from this point on, it's all about Phinehas' descendants, the legitimate priesthood. But there arose another illegitimate priesthood. Let's turn to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17, and verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst, and spakest also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. So this guy stole 1,100 shekels of silver from his mother, so he was a thief. But I guess he wasn't a liar because he told her about it. But she blessed him for confessing it. And when he'd restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it to thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Verse 5, And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim. An ephod is a priestly garment. It talks about that back in Exodus 28, but we don't need to go through that right now. And teraphim, it literally means healing things, but nobody's really sure now what those were. I've heard a lot of different theories, but nobody really knows. So anyway, he made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Now, he was an Ephraimite. He wasn't even a Levite. He certainly wasn't descended from Phinehas. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, if you got a king or a leader above you, then it's all on him. If he's a good guy, then the whole country is good, and if he's a bad guy, the whole country goes bad. Israel never really, when they came to the divided kingdom, Israel never really had a good king. They had a few that started out good for like 2 or 3 days and then went bad, and then they had others that were bad right from the get-go. Judah had maybe 3 good kings. There was David, Josiah, and Hezekiah. The others were not so good. But anyway, there was no king then, so every man did whatever he thought was right. Verse 7, There was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. Now, it doesn't tell you this guy's name until we get to the end of this story. But we'll get to that presently. The man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I'm a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be a father and a priest, and I'll give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now I know that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Well, I don't want to get ahead of the story, but this Levite was not descended from Phinehas. In fact, he wasn't even descended from Aaron, but he was a Levite. Chapter 18. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. Now, those of you that have studied the lost tribes, the Danites went everywhere and conquered all kinds of places. And they usually named places Dan after their father. And you can find Danites from India to Ireland and from Denmark to North Africa. They're everywhere. There's even a lot of them in America now. Well, verse 2, the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from the coast, men of valor from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, Go search the land, who, when they came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were there by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite, and turned in thither. That's a word you don't see much anymore. They turned in thither and said unto him, Who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? And he said unto them, Thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, Ask counsel, we pray thee of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, Go in peace, before the Lord is your way wherein you go. So already, this hired priest is telling people what they want to hear. He's telling them, yeah, you're going to be fine. You know? So then, verse 7, Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. And they came unto their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said unto them, What say ye? And they said, Arise, that we may go up against them, for we've seen the land, and behold, it's very good. And are ye still? Be not slothful to go, and to enter to possess the land. When ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure, and to a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there's no want of anything that's in the earth. And there went from thence of the family of the Danites out of Zorah and out of Eshtaol 600 men appointed with weapons of war. And they went up and pitched in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah, wherefore they call that place Mahanadan unto this day. Mahanadan means camp of Dan. Behold, it's behind Kirjath-Jearim. Verse 13, And they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim, and came unto the house of Micah. Then answered the 5 men that went out to spy the country of Laish, and said unto their brethren, You know, there's in these houses an ephod, and teraphim, and a graven image, and a molten image. Now therefore, consider what you have to do. And they turned thitherward, that's an even more unusual word, they turned thitherward, and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men, appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. And the 5 men that went to spy out the land went up, and came in thither, and took the graven image, and the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate of this, with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. So Micah, this thief, gets all his idols stolen from him. So the thief gets robbed. Kind of some justice there. Verse 18, And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. Then the priest said unto them, What are you doing? And they said unto him, Hold your peace, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. It's better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family of Israel. And the priest's heart was glad, because even though Micah was rich, the Danites were richer, and they could pay him more. So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the cattle in the carriage before him, And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, "What aileth thee that thou comest with such a company?" And he said, "You've taken away my gods which I made, and the priest, and you're gone away. And what have I more? And what's this that you say to me, 'What ails thee?'" And the children of Dan said unto him, "Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household." And the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw they were too strong for him, he turned and went back into his house. And they took the things which Micah had made, and the priest which he had, and came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and burnt the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rehob, and they built a city and dwelt therein. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel, howbeit the name of the city was Laish at the first. And the children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, and it says the son of Manasseh, but this is actually a mistranslation in the Hebrew. It's actually an O that's translated as N. I mean, that sounds strange, but in Hebrew it's like a letter that looks like N parentheses replaced by a letter that looks like end brackets. And most Hebrew Bibles will have a note on this. So it's actually Jonathan, the son of Gershon, the son of Moses. So this Levite that Micah hired and it left with the Danites was Moses' grandson. But he wasn't descended from Phinehas or from Aaron. And he was not a legitimate priest. He and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So the Danites set up this false priesthood. And years later, when some of their descendants ended up in Ireland, they had a false priest there, priesthood there that was called the Druids. And by that time, they'd gotten a lot different. But at first, they were pretty much trying to imitate the legitimate priest. Verse 31, "And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he had made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh." Let's go over to 1 Kings 12:26. We'll read how this developed years later on. Now, by this time, they had a king. Actually, they had a king and rejected him and then set up another king and had the divided kingdom. And this guy, Jeroboam, became king. He had a good tax policy, but he was a bad king in almost every other way. And he started a particular sin. And in fact, this sin was so bad that he's condemned in the Bible at least 13 times after he was dead for doing this. So 1 Kings 12, verse 26. "And Jeroboam said in his heart, 'Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah.' Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" Now I should point out at this point that his capital was Samaria, and the distance from Samaria to Jerusalem is about 42 miles. Every Sabbath when I'm able to go to church, I travel about 60 miles just to go to the weekly Sabbath. And it was a lot farther than 42 miles to come down here to the feast. But Jeroboam told them they couldn't even go that far. I mean, that's a 2 days walk if you walk a lot, you know. Verse 29, "He set up the one golden calf in Bethel, and the other one he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin for the people, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. So originally this false priesthood had some Levites that weren't descended from Aaron and Phinehas, but then he just started making any old buddy priests, and if you slipped them a few bucks, you could be a priest. It's kind of like now you see in the back of comic books, if you send somebody $3, they'll send you a thing that makes you a reverend, and you can marry people and stuff like that. It doesn't make you legitimate in God's eyes. Let's go to verse 32. Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month. Now we're here in the seventh month. So Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. You know, Israel had tried making calves back in Moses and Aaron's day, and that didn't work out too well for him, did it? So he sacrificed unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Let's go to chapter 13 here. And it says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." Here's another thing Jeroboam was doing wrong. He was a king and he was burning incense. There was a king of Judah that tried that, and he got struck with leprosy for offering incense. That's a priest's job, not the king's. So anyway, this prophet came out of Judah to Bethel, and Jeroboam, verse 2, "And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, saying, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign in the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord." Well, I'm telling you, as somebody that worshipped false gods and was worthy of death, but through the mercy of God, I stand here to worship the true God. I'm going to tell you, every god that is God is going to smite every god that's not God. And there'll be no more false gods. Verse 6, "The king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." So again, we got this crooked king trying to pay off a prophet. "The man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half of thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Verse 11, "Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, well, I'm a prophet also as thou art, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So this old prophet was lying. Just because somebody is a prophet don't necessarily mean they're telling you the truth. Don't believe every spirit, but try them. Verse 19, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he settled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. And the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by, and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Now, I don't know if any of you know much about lions and cats in general, but generally speaking, they don't kill somebody and then just stand there and look at them. And they usually don't let a perfectly good donkey just stand there, you know, either. And a donkey usually won't just stand there when a lion's right there standing by. You know, usually a donkey will try to get away from a lion if it can. So this was a sign. Verse 26, and when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it's the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him unto the lion, which has torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spoke to his sons, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and destroy it from the face of the earth. And as I mentioned before, 13 times after this, other kings are condemned for following the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and having this feast in the eighth month, which is still with us today. It's called Halloween now. Let's look at chapter 14 and verse 7. 1 Kings 14, verse 7. It says, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee, yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in my eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods, and molten images, to provoke me to anger, and has cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisses against the wall, and him that shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord has spoken it. Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter to the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they've made their groves. Groves is what we call steeples now, or Asherah poles. Because they made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah, and when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died, and they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 and 12. Now this is picturing the ultimate fulfillment of tomorrow, the last great day. Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Let's turn back to Isaiah 65. So you see, the theme of the last great day is the general resurrection, the resurrection of all the dead that weren't in the first resurrection. And the Feast of Jeroboam is a counterfeit of this. So what do people associate with Halloween? The dead rise. Only they get it all wrong, and they're zombies, and they got their skin hanging off. Well, God's resurrections aren't like that. God resurrects people to life, not to just walk around as rotting corpses. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Let's look at Ezekiel 36. Almost done now. Ezekiel 36, and starting in verse 38. Ezekiel 36, 38. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 37, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, the counterfeit of Halloween has these corpses coming up and the flesh and the sinews is falling off of them. But when God raises them up, he's going to put the sinews and flesh on them. He's going to fix them right up. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, a bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we're cast off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for the house of Israel his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, which neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they've sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be my God, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen will know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. So remember, as you keep God's feast, that he is coming back. He's going to raise the dead. And then 1,000 years later, he's going to raise the rest of the dead. And it's not going to be like Halloween. They're going to be young and healthy again. And they're going to be filled with God's Spirit and learn his ways. And if somebody tells you to go against God's law or to worship idols, I don't care if it's Moses' grandson. Don't listen to that. Listen to God. Thank you and have a great feast.